Lord, I pray you bless the pastor. I pray you give him the wisdom and the knowledge.
Yes, Lord.
To pass it on to his followers.
Yes, Lord.
I pray for his family as well. Keep his family strong.
Yeah.
And I pray you give him the strength to guide us.
Yeah.
To where we need to be.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Hands together for Brother Gary. Thank you, Brother Gary. Thank you. Thank you. That's what it's all about, the kingdom of God. So next week, you know, it might be you. I don't know. We'll see. It's the ladies next week, so we'll be going back and forth. Are you still enjoying Ephesians chapter 1? Or have you moved on? I think you've moved on. Arthur has moved on. But Paul didn't move on. He says, I do not cease. I continue daily. And Lord, we ask for the spirit of revelation. We ask for that spirit of wisdom to be released upon us. And we pray that you open our hearts to the truth that lie in all of this. And I want to continue from where I left last week. And we are working, looking at this prayer, you know, this prayer that Paul wrote. This one prayer that he says, I'm not going to stop this prayer. It's going to continue and it's going to be done. A very important, significant prayer. It's just line upon line of important revelation from God's heart. You know, when you look at it and you do a study of the whole passage, you can quickly move on from this passage. You can quickly read it and think you understand it and move on. But actually it's loaded line after line. When you take the time to go deeper, you will go. You can only go as deep as you want to go with it. And you can quickly just, you know, go and say, I've seen everything there is and move on. But I'm telling you, it's loaded. There's so much that we can get from that. And that's what we are pushing on this year, that we understand everything. So let's read the prayer that Paul said. I'm going to read it from Ephesians 1 verse 16. It says, I do not cease making mention of you in my prayers. And here's the prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And he's going to restate what he's praying for. He's going to explain to us what he's praying for. That the eyes of your understanding will be opened or will be enlightened. And I'm going to just stop there. And then he's going to give three very specific expressions that he's going to line out expressions of this prayer of the glory of God being released in our lives. He says, I am praying that these three things will be released in your life, that you would walk with these three things in your life. What is it? Number one, he says that you would know or you would experience what is God's hope, what is the hope of God's calling over your life. And we spend time looking at your calling, how God has called you. And Paul is saying that you would know, you would have confidence about the subject of God's calling. You have confidence in the knowledge of what God has purposely called you, only you can do. And so he says, I want you to grow in that confidence about the subject of God's calling. That's the first way we experience the glory of God according to this prayer. So the first thing that we experience the God's glory is that we have confidence. We know God's calling of our lives. So Paul is praying. And number two, what is the riches of the glory of being God's inheritance? And we pray to understand who we are to God and why we do what we do. Remember, we understand we have a calling from God, and now he's saying we need to understand why we do what we do. Why is it that we do what we do? In other words, it's not enough to just know what our calling is. We want to know, why do we do this calling? Why am I a pastor? Why, God, have you called me to be the pastor? Why, God, have you called me to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ? It's important for me to know that, because without understanding that, I'll get discouraged along the way. So it's not enough. You know, we want to understand how God feels about this while we are doing the calling that he's made clear to us. I need to know, God, how do you feel when I'm standing at the door and I'm welcoming people and I'm part of the welcome team? How do you feel, God, when I'm at the back and I'm serving others? How do you feel when I'm sweeping the house, the church, and I'm doing all of this? God, how do you feel? Because without the revelation of how God feels, it becomes cumbersome. It becomes chaotic and it becomes hard work. But when I know that I'm coming to cut grass outside there and God feels and he says, wow, look at you when you do this. This is so exciting for me. When I have that revelation of how God feels when I do things, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter whether you turn up or not. I know how God feels. whether I've got one person or not. You know, whether I've got two here or I've got three here. The importance of the revelation of God's heart. How do you feel about the things that you've called me to do? When I have that revelation, it changes the way I do things. Number three, that we would understand what is the exceeding greatness of the power of God that's working in our lives. Without that knowledge, you know, of how God's power works in us, that we would have a spirit of revelation in terms of experiencing and our ability to understand how the power of God functions, how the power of God operates in our life. And this is a subject that causes much offense in the hearts of God's people, in the hearts of people in the church, the subject of God's power. We don't understand it. And when we don't understand it, it causes much offense because everybody cares about the power of God. And we have these three presuppositions of how God's power works. And then when it doesn't work the way we want it to work, we get offended at God. We become discouraged with God. I don't know whether you've experienced that. God, you are not being true to your word. Or maybe I'm just so messed up that I will never work. The truth is we don't have revelation of the power of God, how the power of God works or operates. It's a huge point. Because many people conclude that they're just so messed up, they will never be able to experience God's power. Amen. Is that right? When we don't understand how God's power works, and I'm in church, and I'm coming, and I'm giving money, and you give money, and you give money, and you give money to church, and then you realize actually, I was hoping this, or I'm praying for this, and nothing happens. What's going to happen is you're going to become discouraged. You can go to a church when you don't understand God's power. God's presence might be there, but you don't have revelation of how the power of God works. And so you run around, oh, maybe I need to go to, I was going to say Makandio, I need to go to this one because this church has got more power. I need to go to this place because this is the place where God is. And God says, you have no revelation of how the power of God works. I'm telling you, God is here. I'm telling you, God is in your house. When you have revelation of His power over your life, you don't need to be anywhere. You don't need the pastor to pray over you. You have power inside of you. You can call heaven right now to say, flu, be gone in Jesus' name, and flu, be gone in Jesus' name. I just worked myself out of the job there. Is that right? You don't need me to pray for you. We have direct access. We need revelation of God's power, how power, the power of God works. When the church understands how God's power works, we are liberated. We are free. We now understand we have this revelation of how He operates. You know, so when we don't understand, we conclude that God doesn't love us. God's not really interested in revealing His power to us. And the truth is, they don't perceive how God administrates and releases the power in His kingdom. And it's a huge subject. And maybe we need to just come back and say, look at the whole revelation of God's power. How do we discern? How do we have revelation of how God functions? So we need to understand this. And I'm saying here, understanding this prayer, this is a very important prayer. And it focuses on the subject of God imparting the spirit of glory into the life of a believer. And I've often looked at this prayer as post-roadmap to discipleship. I'm repeating myself. I've mentioned this in the past, and I'm just giving you quickly recap. Because what Paul is doing in this prayer is he's revealing how he views that the human heart is motivated and strengthened. He's saying the human heart is motivated and strengthened when the human heart understands His purpose. Remember, we're talking about you are created for a purpose, and you want to do things that will only make a difference. You want to connect yourself with things that will make a lasting impact. If you want to give money, you want to know what difference is it going to make. If it's not going to make any difference, you're going to say, I don't want to invest in that. But when you have revelation of actually when I give, this is going to transform someone else, we will all do whatever it takes to do that. Is that right? I'm just using money as an example, but actually it could be translated to anything else. And so Paul is using it, and he wants us to understand that. Because what Paul is doing is he wants us to be strengthened, to be motivated. And that. So as I look at these three things, the spirit of glory touching my heart and the spirit of revelation, also touching my heart. These three areas. And I know that if I get more of this, I will be motivated to righteousness. When I get these three things that we've talked about, God's call on my life, I understand that. And I know that who I am to God and what God feels towards me. And I understand about God's power in my life and how that power functions. It motivates me to righteousness. It motivates me to wholeheartedness. It motivates me to being lovesick for God. It motivates me to being committed to God. It motivates the way I do my Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It motivates me the way I interact with others. It calls me to wholeheartedness when I understand this. And Paul understood this. And he says, this is the thing that will motivate the heart. This is what will make you stronger in the spirit. So as a teacher, I focused on this subject to call people, and I'm focusing to call you. And I don't always use this passage, but we use different passage. I'm focusing. I understand that this is the thing that Paul thought that the church at Ephesus needed the most. If there's anything that the church at Ephesus needed, they needed to understand their call, their identity, and they needed to understand who they were in God. They needed to understand the power that God has. And I think it's something also that we need. And so Paul says, I do not cease to make mention of you on this prayer. I do not give up. I'm not going to be bored quickly. I want to challenge you. Lock in 10, 20, 30, their whole life. Lock into this passage. Lock in and say, God, I want to know my calling. Yes, yesterday, God, you called me to be in this place. But today, I want to know, what are you saying, God? Where are you calling me, God? And when we walk with that, there's continual revelation that he gives. Revelation doesn't just come by itself. It doesn't come. If you are on a fast lane, you're not going to get revelation. It takes people that will slow down. People that will move away from the fast lane and say, God, what are you saying to me? People that will downsize and say, God, what are you saying? What is it that you want to do in my life? So this is what Paul is praying for. This is a prayer that you need to pray for yourself, for your belief, for your loved ones, believers, unbelievers. And this is a prayer that gives you insight into how, the heart that awakened and strengthened and stirred up. So Paul prayed one general prayer, and the prayer was threefold. And I want to come to where we are this week. This prayer was threefold, and the first fold was actually he prayed that we understand that there is an internal dimension to our calling. Remember the internal dimension? What was that about? What's your internal calling? To be a disciple of Jesus Christ. To be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, I would say. So to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And then he also prayed, that's your internal, right? And that internal the dimension is walked out in you locking in and walking out the Sermon on the Mount. Giving and developing a fasted lifestyle. Your walk with God. Loving God with all your heart. And being a child of God, being the people of God, that comes number one. And then there was a second dimension. What was it? The external. What is the external calling you have? Walking out, being a disciple of Jesus Christ. So that manifests itself in what? Let's help somebody. In your calling, what is it? What is it? Give me examples. Your ministry, your function, right? So you could be a pastor, you could be an intercessor, you could be a welcomer, somebody who cleans the church, service, all those gifts, the way we walk them out. And I was saying that in this world that we live in, the church sees the external ministry as the biggest ministry. And many a times when we talk about our calling, we don't even talk about the first, which is the primary calling, being a true disciple of Jesus Christ. We talk about the external. This becomes our more important thing. Yet, this is the, of the three, that's the least. That's the smallest one. And many of us, we are called to walk in smallness when we are giving out our external calling. And there are very few Billy Grahams who managed to make an impact. We had a big ministry to impact lots of people. Many of us here, we may not have that gift of impacting the other. And the third calling was what? In eternal, in the age to come. And we were saying that that's your calling in heaven. You will have a function in heaven. You have a purpose in heaven when you stand before God. And we need to understand that. Now, I want to move us on from that. And I want to move, and I said these three aspects They manifest themselves in two, these three dimensions manifest themselves in two aspects. So you have an individual calling, that's your calling, your one that you have. And I said we have also a corporate calling, and that's what I want to focus on today. It is important for us to understand that we have a calling together, that as a nation we have a calling that God has put over our lives. And I want to touch on that. Did you know that you are joined to other believers in a corporate way, in time and eternity, that when we stand before God, did you know you and I, we will stand before God and be judged together on what we did with our time here on earth? Did you know? It's a concept that we as the Westerners, I always feel funny when I say that. Am I allowed to say I'm a Westerner now? I don't know. Not sure about that. Peter, what do you think? Sorry? Where's the dividing line? Yeah. Anyway, let's not get sidetracked. So we as the Westerners, we struggle, Brianna, we struggle with this. Because we think individualistically. We think we are self-centered. We always think, as long as I'm fine, you know, as long as me, and 9 out of 10, many of us here, we have always thought that when we stand before God, it will be me and God, you know. We will give account. Of course, you are going to stand on your own to give account of your life. But there's also a corporate dimension where you will stand with your brothers and sisters in your life group together. What did we do? Oh, we had lots of coffee. Oh, we had lots of jokes, you know, and oh, we had this and this and this and this. And give account of how we have used the time that we had. So there's a corporate dimension. And that's the one I want to spend time on today. And it's a very important part of who we are in terms of our assignment on the earth. When we understand that we are all called together to be the people of God, when we understand our responsibility together, not just as a church, but as ministries, as a church, cities, London, you know, nations, the whole of UK, and we go to generations standing before God. How is God going to do that? I don't know. But you know, some cultures, especially in the Middle East, they find it easy to connect with the whole corporate idea. Cultures in Africa, we find it easy to to think community. Because we are raised in community. Everything we do is collectively. It's like that. But we have to work extra hard to think like that. And so what we have in church is people who just come, as long as I come to church, I do my business, I don't want to mess around with anyone, I don't like church politics, I do the church business, and I go away. You are going to stand before God and give account. When we come together, we need to understand there's a calling of our lives to be the people of God. There's a mission, there's a commission that we have been given by God as the people at Heather Green Baptist Church, that we are supposed to walk out in this community and impact this community. Because one day we'll stand and say, what did you do on the corner of the road? Oh, we had lots of services. We laughed so much. We encouraged ourselves so much. And we had so many meals and so many teas, and we were very good. And God will say, brilliant, I'm glad you did that. But actually, did you manage to fulfill your calling that I had over your lives? That's the biggest calling. That's the biggest thing that we have. And the biggest victory that we have together is when we come together and we stand and be the people of God. So we stand before God as a corporate people on several levels. We stand to God, as I said, as ministries, and we're going to stand before God as nations and generations. Now, some people come through ministry here, and I want to explain this. Some people come through ministry, and they're here for months, for 3 months, and they go. They're here for 6 months. So one might ask and say, Pastor, what happens, you know, when people come and they go? I'm one person that releases people, you know. I don't think everyone should be here. We want people that have been brought by the Spirit of God and joined together. When those people come and they're joined together by the Spirit, they know their God-given calling to be the people of God here. When people who are there, they're people that are just passing by, isn't it? And they come. It's fine. I was in a church in Zimbabwe. My season had to come. and I had to move on. And so I'm here. So I understand seasons and principles and like that. There's a season. You want to move when God says move. Don't remove yourself when God says stay where you are. This is where I've called you. And don't stay where you are when God is moving you on. I mean, am I being fair at both sides here? Yeah? So if God is calling you to be here, I'm here because God has called me. Don't move because someone else is telling you to move. Because when that person goes there, they're going to move to somewhere else, and they're going to go somewhere else. What's going to happen? Move because God is telling you to move. And when you move, because God is telling you to move, you find yourself in a place where you'll be able to make an impact, because that's where the Holy Spirit is joining you into. He's grafting you into that community. You become part of that community. But when you move without the anointing of the Spirit telling you to move, you've got problems. Where you are going to go, you're going to cause problems there because you're trying to force yourself. And it doesn't work. And so you want to move led by the Spirit. And God is looking for people that are led by the Spirit. The children of God are those that are led by the Spirit. And those that are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God. And so we want to stay here because God is telling us to stay here. You know, there's some people, they struggle with the pastor and they say, oh, I don't like what's going on. And rah, 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 rah. But they say, actually, you know, I know I'm called to be here. I know the Spirit. Doesn't mean you're going to get on with everyone. I know this is where God wants me to be. You know, and I said, wow, this is it. This is the community of grace. You need to understand. I need to understand that we have a responsibility here. We got to be led by the Spirit. We don't go because, you know, we like the music. The music fades. We don't go because we like the pastor. We don't stay because we love the pastor. When the pastor, you know, when the pastor is brilliant and God says, move, move. Don't stay where you are. Only stay because the Spirit is saying stay. Amen, somebody. And so God brings people for a season. And some of you here, you might be here for a season. And when your season comes to the end, of course it's painful. But actually we have to come to the place where we say, you know what? We are the people of God. They were great men. And women that were here before. And they all went. There was a great pastor who was here before. He planted this church, actually. His season came. And God says, I'm moving you on. And we have to understand that. And as a church, we have to welcome that. We try to hold on to, you know, to people. Even in life. You have a season here on earth. A time is coming. I have a time that's coming. When God says, I'm going to move you on to a new community. Only God. You know, everybody else might say, oh, we want you to go. We want this or what. When your time hasn't come, it's not going to happen. You might be very unwell. But until God says, hey, the season has come to an end. I want to progress you. I want to upgrade you to heaven. Then you upgraded to heaven. Are you still with me? So there's this wonderful calling that we have. And our biggest calling and our biggest victory is our corporate joinings. A lot of people want a big calling in this age. Not just in the age to come. So a big calling we have is to be together, to be the people of God. We are called to come together and be the people of God. And we want to be able to walk in that. And we want to walk in that understanding ourselves. And it's very important. And of course, you know, the analogy that Paul uses is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the function of the body. And Paul said, they are the least members. They are those that are least esteemed members. The function. Do you know in our bodies we have our hearts. We don't see them. We have got arteries that we don't see. And when that artery is actually blocked, it can cause you to die. Is that right? It just blocks and boom. Ah, we had him. He was talking this afternoon. You know, he was here. And he's gone. Because something that we don't even see is not right. Is not doing what it's supposed to do. And so Paul says, I want you to know that you as a church, you are like the body. You know, we usually just focus on the external parts. But actually Paul is taking it even deeper and he's saying, no. Some of you, you are the arteries. Some of you, you are the kidneys. The parts that are not seen. The parts that do not stand on the stage. And he says, I want you to have this revelation. When you have this revelation of actually your position, that you don't have to stand at the front to be able to feel like you're making an impact. That actually wherever you are, if you don't function the way you are called to function, we got problems. The heart is sick when the artery is not working, when the artery is blocked, which means that I can't do what I'm called to do when you are not doing your part. So each and every one of us, Estella, you've got a function that God has given you that only you, look around, only you will be able to contribute to this body of Christ here. When you have that revelation, Estella, from where you're sitting to say, actually, you know what, it's important for me to be connected with the body of Christ here because that's where God has called me and I have something to give. When that unlocks in your head, it changes the way you do and the way you carry yourself. I'm telling you, you come in here, you say, you're not going to wait for somebody to give you something to do. You recognize, God, I know I'm here for a purpose, God. You've called me to do this, I'm going to do it, God. Because I know if I don't do my part, the whole body is not able. The whole body is sick. Are you making us sick? Might it be that actually you critique the church? That the church is not good enough, is not doing this? Might it be because you are not doing something? Very often I say this to people come to me and say, oh, you know, they're so hard on the church is not doing this and da 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 da. And I say listen, the people that you're critiquing, they're doing their part. And because usually it's the people who are on the outskirts, is that right? I'm walking down eggshells, yeah, but hey, I'm not going anywhere for lunch, I'm all right. The people that critique people the most are the people that are on the outside. They are the referees. Might it be that you need to jump in so that you can be involved? When you are involved, the very thing that you are seeing with your eyes, God brings things to your eyes so that you can be the solution, not so that somebody can do it. I've always said, God, when you show me something, maybe I'm the person to be the answer to that problem. Oh, the church is not doing this. Oh, the worship group. Look at that. Hey, come join. You lead us. Hey. Oh, the church was messy today. Did you see that? Be the people of God. When you don't do your part, I've gone off my nose. I don't know where I am now. And so when we don't do our part, the whole body is sick. And there are people that sort of sit and they say, oh, you know, my part is so small and this and this. And as I said, I'm going to bring this out. You actually have something. What I do on a Sunday morning is not complete without you doing your part. It might be small in your eyes, but when the two of them come together, we actually are better and stronger together. We need each other. We have been called here to be the people of God. What I'm talking about goes even in our families, goes even in our community. The reason we have Lewisham, that's disgusting to walk sometimes. I'm going to get lots of critics now. I really can't stand when I walk around the path and I see dog fouling around. I just struggle with it. If you've got a dog, do your part. Because really it's not a good community like that where you're dodging all the time. Am I right? Am I being hard on Lewisham? I know it's not the only one. I'm sure other viruses are terrible. I mean, the other place I found that was terrible was Belgium. That was something else. But I want to say, let's be the people of God. If everybody takes part, no fly tipping church, can't stand that either, really bugs me. We want a cleaner community, fly tipping, people just putting things around. And, you know, imagine, I mean, I'm getting sidetracked, God help me. Imagine, right, our community is not actually geared for blind people. Check your path, where you park. Many of us, we put our bins. We just put them on the pavement. We don't think because we can see. But see it from the point of view of someone who doesn't see, who's walking with this. Some of you, your hedges, they are leaning over to the pavement, that the pavement is just a little bit. Two people can't even pass. Think of people that are on the wheelchair. We need to be the people of God. I'm talking about the community, but I can zoom in even on this church here. There's things that go on that we need you to realize that together we have been put here for a purpose. And when you do your part, it makes it easier. There are some people that actually are carrying 20 ministries. I'm exaggerating, maybe 8 or something. And the reason they are carrying those things is because no one else is doing their part. And sometimes it's easy to be hard on those people and say, oh, you've got all those things you're doing. What happens is, if I do 20 things, I'm never going to do them right. Never. I'm never going to give my all to all of them. And so, it's in your interest. It's in our interest for you, for me, to do my part. If I don't do my part, I'm shortchanging you. If you don't do your part, you're shortchanging the body of Christ here. When we have that revelation, every one of us capture that. That actually, if I don't do my part, the whole church is going to suffer. The whole church is going to be discouraged. And we are going to give account on what we have done here. When we have that understanding, I'm telling you, what sort of church would we be? It would be vibrant. We'll come here, there will be no papers out there. Because you just come and say, oh, somebody picked the papers. You know, where I was supposed to be doing something else, now I'm picking up papers. I'm not complaining. But I want you to understand. So Paul is praying. And even throughout, you know, when Paul was praying, he prayed that he prayed for the corporate promises. He says Jesus gave us the corporate promises to the 7 churches. I think that's where I am, Peter. And he gave them promises to all the saints. I'm trying to bring out the idea that you need to understand that when God looks at us, he looks at us sometimes as a city, as a nation. And so he's looking at the 7 churches and he gave them promises to all the saints. And those promises, they applied in their life on earth and in the age to come, in the eternal life. And it applied to them. And also Paul prayed for the regional. Paul prayed in to the church at Thessalonica to walk out their destiny together in 2 Thessalonians 1. And he said, I pray always that you, and he's talking about the whole regional church there. And he says that the whole of you would enter into the fullness of your purpose in this age and in the age to come. That we would walk out. We have a mandate to walk out what God has called us. You know, it's not limited to this age because they wouldn't enter until Jesus returns. So he said, I want you to enter in. And again, it's something that we struggle with as a Western mindset because our values, you know, we are so individualistic that this is a strange idea. And that we have a corporate identity, you know, that we have this corporate identity that has been given to us. But part of our identity is actually corporate. Yes, we are individual, but we are corporate. So we have this corporate identity that we have. And Paul prayed for the people joined together in the Spirit in 2 Corinthians 4:14. And he says this, when Jesus returns, and he goes, I want you to know this. I want you to understand these saints at Corinth. When God the Father raises us up with Jesus, he will present us together. We're going to be presented together. How would you like to be presented before the Lord? And there's Paul, the apostle right there. Matt, you are there. Paul is there and saying, we've been presented together. You know, and I've got you guys, some of you guys, we'll be presented together. You know, we stand there and I say, well, Matt, wait for me. You know, Matt, high five. We'll be high-fiving each other forever in heaven. When we have that understanding, it's important then we start to get on now. When I'm going to spend the rest of my life with you in the age to come, because there's some people that say, oh, you know, it's okay, we don't get on with people, it's all right, I just do my business. We are going to be together forever. The sooner we start to walk right together, the better. Heaven will be a better place. So he prayed to the church at Thessalonians. And then Paul prayed again. He says, those that have been joined with the Lord. My point is, when Jesus raised people from the dead, he will actually raise people from the dead and present them, those that were joined to one another in the Spirit. So God brings us together in the Spirit and he joins us together. And then he also says in 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 19 to 20, he said that, what is our hope and our glory? What is our crown of rejoicing? He asked this question and they go, what is the hope of you and glory, Paul? He says, is it not you in the presence of Jesus, the second coming, in the second coming? And he's talking about the resurrection. He says, my glory is you being presented with you, standing with you when Jesus raises up together. You will be my glory and my joy. We will be together in heaven. So how could Paul, how could the church at Corinth and the church of the Thessalonians, how is God going to deal with that? Well, I think God is going to have to deal with that one himself. But I want us to understand that as a generation, as I said, we are going to be judged together. We are going to stand together. And there is this spiritual identity that we have. Maybe I'll leave it at that. We'll come back to the spiritual identity that we have. There is this spiritual identity that we have. And this spiritual identity that we have, it calls us to be, and you see this in the age that the Lord returns, that we become the people that God wants us to be. And so it's important for us to understand what's our calling here at AGBC. You know, because I was asking God, yes, we have this corporate calling, but what is it that you've called us to be here at AGBC? What is it? Because some of us might not know. And I was saying this. I was saying, we've been called to be the people of God, the people that will love God. We've been called to love God with all our hearts. We've been called to loving God, to commit ourselves, to give ourselves to loving God. And we've been called to loving people. And we're going to love people by actually ministering to people, by hearing people, by walking with people, supporting people. And that's why we have this loving God, loving people. We want to love people. But also we want to be a community of grace. A community that is a community of grace where we extend grace to one another. We minister the grace of God. And we walk out the grace of God together. We walk out what God has done in our lives. You know, saying, when you understand that your sins, when you have revelation of your sins, when you have revelation of how much you needed God inside of you, when you have revelation of that, and you see a brother, a sister struggling in life, you would deal with them with grace because you understand grace was released to you. And so we want to be the people that will be able to walk out the grace of God. We want to be a people that raises disciples of Jesus Christ. And so it means that we're going to equip others to stand and be the people of God. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to stop right there. Thank you, Peter, at the back, helping me with the PowerPoint. We're going to stop there, Peter. I'm going to ask you to stand if you call this is your home. And I'm going to ask you to do something. I want you to look around. I want you to know. Look around. Don't be afraid of them. These are your brothers and sisters. Some of them, they're not here. We're not always going to agree. We're not always, you know, like in any relationship, you have difficulties sometimes. Even in marriages, we go through difficulties sometimes. And things don't work out the way they want them to work out. We don't always see things the same way. We are the people of God. I want you to see God in each and every person who's standing here. I remember one of my sons. He came one day to me and he says, "Daddy, you know, this one did this. I'd better not use names because I'm protecting them. This one you may probably work out anyway. This one did this to me." And I said, "What do you want me to do with him?" He says, "Daddy, I want you to sort him out." Sort him out. I can't sort the guy. Why do you want me to sort him out? Because what he did is wrong. I said, "Yeah, he's done something wrong, but he's my soldier." I've always called them my soldiers. I said, "He's my soldier. How can I," and then my bodyguard, how can I sort my soldier and my bodyguard? He says, "Daddy, I want you to sort him out." And I said, "How would you want me to deal with you next time when you are the one who's done something wrong to the other?" All of a sudden, oh. I said, "Would you like me to sort you out?" like you want me to do this to this soldier of mine? And he said, no. And I remember, you know, sometimes in church, you know, people come and they say all sorts of things, pastor this and all those things. And I remember God bringing the story, my kids, and saying, how, you remember when you say to your children, how do you want me to deal with that one? Do you remember what you say to them? That's how I want you to deal with this person who is actually doing something wrong to you. Boom, I felt it. I was like, but they've said nasty thing about me. They've said this and this and this. They're gossiping about me and things. And God says, he's my soldier. He's my bodyguard. And you are my bodyguard too. And God says, I want you to see what I see in you. I want you to see it in the brother, in the sister. That changed. So I want you to look again. Your brothers and sisters, behold your brothers and sisters in the Lord. And Lord, we pray revelation. As I said, Lord, we're not always going to agree on things. But help us to mature, man. Help us to grow up. Help us to be the people of God. If you are here and your family is here, look at them and tell them, we have a calling together. Help me, God, to see God in you. I want to see God in you. And help us, let's work together the calling that we have upon our lives. And tell them, I don't want to be a hindrance to the calling. I want to actually facilitate the calling that we have. I want to be the catalyst. You know, I want to be the person that will... You know, there's some people that just want to pull you down and stop you and stumbling block. They become weights. If you know, and we want to pray that, Lord, help us to be people that will facilitate faith to rise in the house. You know, trust, and that we give each other the benefit of the doubt. That we stand together as the people of God. That we stand together in love. That we stand together and say, Spirit of God, show us how you want us to walk. That we are not kicked about by the enemy left, right, and center, but we are the people of God. And I'm going to ask you, why not turn to the person next to you and just pray a prayer of blessings. You know, some people don't like this when I do this. But I've said that we are in this together. We all need to function. That person who's next to you, they need to be encouraged. Tell them, you have something to give that I do not have. And so let's work together to be the people of God here. And just minister to each other, maybe in twos or threes, and just begin to minister to each other and say, let's be the people of God in this place. Let's stand together. Let's serve together. Let's worship together. Let's love one another, and let's be the people of God together in Jesus' name. Move around and encourage someone. Move around and just encourage someone and tell them that we are the people of God here together. We are the people of God. Minister and accept. If you know their gifts, tell them, you know, you have this to offer to the church. Function. Be the people that God has called you to be. In Jesus' name, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord, we say yes. We say yes, Lord, to your call, to be the corporate calling that we have here, Lord. We know it's not enough, Lord, to just do what we do on our own, but we want to walk together. And help us, Father, to say yes to that calling to be the people of God. We thank you in Jesus' name, Lord. Yes, bless each other and minister to each other. Yes, Lord. Let your soul say yes. Give me the love. Some of you are standing to people you haven't talked to for a long time. No more grudges. No more gossiping. Embrace one another as the people of God. In Jesus' name. Yeah, move around and just bless people. Bless them, bless them, bless them. Some of them just need that encouragement, that embrace. Yes, let's walk together and be the people of God. Yes, Lord. Yeah. Yes, Lord. We want to be the people of God. Yeah. Yes, Lord. Yeah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord, I pray for those that have got gifts that look like small. They are not seen by people. Maybe they are the arteries. Maybe they are the kidneys. Maybe they are the veins. They look so far removed, and yet they are important. Lord, I pray, help us not to despise what you have put inside of us. Help us to recognize the gift that we have. You have something to bring here. Lord, we want to see the body of Christ standing up and being what you've called us to be. We thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.